Well, let's open in prayer, and we'll bring up these ones in need. Mark, would you lead us, dear brother?
Father Yahweh, thank you for bringing us all here together today to study your word, Yeshua. We ask the blessing of your Holy Spirit on us as we understand Craig's teaching, on which we also ask the blessing of your Holy Spirit. Your Ruach HaKodesh fills us, as your Spirit fills us, we know that we are to go out and spread the word of the gospel, the word that Yeshua is coming back. We can see in current events every day that this is getting closer and closer as the powers align themselves, as we see in Ezekiel 38 and in Daniel and in Revelation. We know that if we're going to be here for that, we will be brought through it. If we're not, we welcome that as well. We hope to study your word more to understand that and everything else that is in your word. In Yeshua's precious name, amen.
Amen. So thank you, Mark. Beautiful prayer. Well, we got a good little group, and the thing about it is you know, I changed everything today. I was going to carry on with what we talked about Wednesday on the name, but with the events over in Japan and what's been happening for the last 6 or 7 years, what I find is on the major things fulfilling Bible prophecy. Most, I hate to say this, but it's true. You know it's true. Most of the churches, even a lot of our group, do not understand the criticalness of the times now. Meaning it's just like they're taking each day as it comes. They don't realize, like Christ said, when you see Jerusalem circled, flee to the mountains. It's like we're being encircled, but no one's fleeing, see. Everyone's just everyday routine. And, you know, and Christ said in Luke, he says, when I return, Living Bible really hits this. It says, when I return, that's talking about a second coming, he says, it will be business as usual on this earth. Totally unaware. Business as usual. See, and that's what we're seeing now. Business as usual. Yes, we read, Christians will come to sermons, or they'll see events in the world happening. But as far as moving them to realize, look, I've got to study as never before, attend meetings. I've got to be part of God's congregation. See, and as Mark said, be effective in giving a warning. No, it's just, you know, go to Saturday, go to Sunday or something, services, and that's it. Okay. And so no one...
I was with a group of women last night.
Yeah.
At dinner.
Hey, right.
And they were all saying, except for me, they were all saying, things are going to get better.
Oh, yeah. That's
like that. She went,
that's a mental
health. Things are going to get better. Things are going to get better. And I went, uh-uh.
They don't realize it's through God's kingdom it's going to get better, not through man's efforts. You know, how many of you are up to date what happened the other day in Japan? Did you all pretty well watch everything?
I just listened watching the...
2020 had a big program on it last night.
The nuclear power plants.
Well, I'm not going to go on a lot about this, but this is all part of the prophecies of the last days. But here's the thing. It's very interesting. Japan has the third largest economy in the world.
Right.
What do you think it's going to do to us, which is American dollar? You know, mm-hmm. They're based on the American dollar. See, there's undermining things here that Christians can look into. The world doesn't quite catch right now. Wall Street's been a nightmare. You know, Japan's Wall Street, our Wall Street, things are just fluctuating. But the point about this is going to have effects way after this upon our economy, which can't take any kind of blow. Plus the fact, right now, this morning, this is the development. Of course, the other day, what happened was 27-foot tsunamis came in on, there was a major earthquake 18 miles out of Japan. Within minutes, 26-foot tsunamis at the speed of a jet airliner, think of this, 500 miles an hour, hit Japan. I mean, it took out trains loaded with hundreds of people runs along the ocean. They never did find them. Took small ocean liners, never found them. 100 people just like they vanished off the face of the earth. whole towns, as you saw on CTV, huge tsunami. You know, it's just not a wave of tsunami. A tsunami is with the whole ocean raises up, a whirlpool, and comes in with such power that it just crushes anything in sight. And that's exactly what it took out, not towns, city after city in Japan. They said probably the death toll, when it's all done and over, will rival that of Indonesia. And they lost, 270-some thousand. So, plus, this is just the tip of the icing bird. What, have you heard about the atomic nuclear plant? It is now considered possibly totally lost, emitting radiation up into the air. What's the one in Russia? It was
Chernobyl.
They're comparing it with this. There's no saving of it, and it's only 80 miles from Japan. I mean, from Tokyo. This means that, Lord, this is going to take, Tokyo will be probably half the area will be contaminated for years and years.
That's what I did for the Department of Defense was nuclear, chemical, and biological warfare simulations. And a column of radioactive smoke like that, it only takes a slight shift in the wind to take it from where it's safe now to right over Tokyo and take out literally the whole town.
Oh, yeah, they almost now, the Japanese professors were talking, they think that's what's going to happen. There was major damage to Tokyo, too. But here's the thing that's amazing is, all these deaths and the deaths that will come from this, see, and they said the wind is not going out to the ocean. The shelter building that shelters that has totally collapsed, gone down. It's just emitting it. Just see, they're trying to. It was all brought out. So this is a disaster actually equal to the earthquake and the tsunami, probably worse overall run. See, cancer, everything else. So here's the third economy in the world devastated in a matter of moments. And this is going to, you know, they said it's, the economists are saying the Lord knows what's going to happen.
Now, when's it going to happen to us?
Well, I mean, it's going to affect us even.
No, but I mean,
oh, yes.
We are ripe for a big earthquake.
Yes. Yeah. Oh, yeah. They said if that 8.9 had hit L.A., San Francisco, which most of the buildings are not built like Japan. That saved a lot of them. It showed those big skyscrapers. Did you see that black one? It was amazing. That sucker was moving like this. I'm not kidding. Streams. I mean, just unbelievable. You know, how they built it with the counterweights. And, of course, everyone else was shaking to death inside, you know. But that building never came down. And building after building did that. Well, but they said it had hit California, you'd have probably millions dead. They said and the whole areas downtown would collapse, most of them. They could never take that kind
and
of hit.
We have a big fault. How far? 100 miles.
Oh, it's
from
all
where
clear.
We live in Illinois.
Oh, yes.
The Madrid fault.
They showed that last night.
Yeah.
Did you see it on TV on 2020?
No.
They showed coming up through Memphis, Louisville, Illinois, Indiana. They said it's one of the biggest and ready to go at any time. And so what I mean is it's just one thing going on after another, see, and what's happening. And most Americans are sitting, you know, and even people of the world, and it's business as usual.
And right? I've heard some people say, who told me that the other day when we were dinner with Liz, and they said it might have been us, and I even said, oh, well, that's because we have such access to the news now. Things like
oh,
that
yeah,
happened before.
So.
But we just didn't know about it. You know,
there has been more earthquakes
during
the 1900s onward. And they've recorded clear back for ages, Rome, all, Pompeii, you know, all that. They've recorded well. They said there's been more earthquakes in the later half of the 1900s in the 20th century than all the history of mankind since they've been put together. That's how often it's become. And these are called like, in the Pacific, it's called, what, the Ring of Fire.
Oh, yeah.
And you stop and think of the losses that have occurred within the 7 or 8 years. I'm not trying to deal with statistics, so this is to prove a point here. We're going to read from Scripture.
Sure.
That is, in China, and these things are always hid by these type of governments, China has lost literally hundreds of thousands and these major quakes that have occurred in different cities within a 7 or 8 year period. And it even, you just go back. Indonesia, 275,000 people that they know have perished. You know, you just stop and think about this. You've got quakes in Peru. What was it? Atlanta, Peru? Colombia.
Chile,
Colombia had two major ones, killed thousands of people. Then you have Haiti's. Then you have, you have the great quakes that have occurred elsewhere, like in Italy and
Chile and Turkey.
Turkey's lost
diverse
millions.
Diverse places.
Yeah, yes. Now, explain to them what divers mean.
It's just all over the place, in places where they wouldn't normally be, is what that implies, from my understanding.
What it said.
Where it talks about earthquakes in diverse places. That phraseology is just like, they knew even in ancient times, that the area around Italy and Naples and everything was active, and things like Pompeii, that was something that erupted more than once in ancient history. So there were places in the world where they knew that earthquakes and volcanic activity were likely to occur. And what is happening now is just like the New Madrid Fault. I was studying calculus with my tutor in Columbus, Ohio, when a 4.2 hit in Kentucky that was based off of that fault. And we actually felt it. We're yelling at the kids in the next room to settle down. And I look out the window, and there's a light pole at their pool that was swaying back and forth, waves in the pool. It's like, this is an earthquake. It's just like, this is not, this isn't the kids bouncing around in the next room. And in Columbus, Ohio. And so the fact that these things are happening in diverse places now is assurance to us that we are in the end times.
Modern translations even put it better, but here's the thing. Christ spoke these words. Think of this. He knew, that's what he was saying, it's going to be worldwide. He was sitting there in Jerusalem when he said these words. He wasn't just referring to local area, he was referring to the whole world. That would be the main sign, one of them, of his coming back. As it was in the days of Noah, we're going to touch on that, as it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. And here's what he says in Luke. Follow along.
Where are you?
Luke what?
Luke 21:7 we'll start at. And if you have a Bible, there's Bibles there or wherever. But I'm going to read this from this translation. It says, I'll wait till you all get to that. Luke 21:7. Onward. Y'all got it pretty well there? Then it says, then they question him, saying, these were the apostles, teacher, when will these things actually be? Now, naturally, they'd walked 3.5 years on the earth with him, nearly. And they were, they were wondering what he meant. And what will be the sign when these things are destined to occur? Now, that's not under a reasonable question. They'd heard him talk about these things. So he asked that. Now, notice here what he says. He said, look out that you are not misled, for many will come on the basis of my name, saying, I am he. Do I have to say any more about that scripture? What's happening today in the world? The due time has approached. Do not go after them. And this is what you've seen in religions down throughout the ages. Jehovah's Witnesses, Seventh-day Adventists, other groups have predicted the end. Down throughout, going back Catholic Church and everything. That's why in 1000 AD, the Catholic Church got scratching their head. And of course, St. Augustine had spiritualized everything in the 4th century. And they got saying, well, maybe he was right. Maybe it's a spiritual kingdom. That's where all the Protestants followed suit. This is where the teaching of preterists came about. Everything was fulfilled in Christ's time. That was a Catholic priest who started this. So you see there's been this kind of questioning down throughout the ages. Here he says, furthermore, when you hear of wars and disorders, do not be terrified, for these things must occur first, And that certainly has during the past 2,000 years. But these things must occur first, but the end, notice, does not occur immediately. Right. He said that 2,000 years ago. He knew there would be all kinds of wars mm-hmm. in that time. But notice 10 here. Here's you start to, it's narrowing in. Then he went on to say to them, this is the time different from what the previous verse talks about. Wars, you'll hear them. Nation will rise. That's why it's emphasized here. Against nation and kingdom against kingdom. That had never occurred before in the whole world, all from the time of Christ onward, until what time? It's been fulfilled, but what is this talking about? This is talking about when not only nation will fight against nation, you know, individual Rome against the Parthians, Rome against Egypt, and this kind of stuff. No, this is World War I and World War II.
Right.
World War I primarily, around the time of 1914, changed the whole world. There's historians that said the world has never been the same since then.
No.
See, then the whole world, never been heard of before, went to war against each other. See, and this was, and Second World War was even worse. You know, millions died. Think of this, millions. Which had never occurred in previous wars. You'd lose hundreds of thousands, but never millions upon millions. See, this is the big, most scholars will say, World War I started the time of the end. And that's what we're in right now. We're in this time period, which leads right through the tribulation 7 years into the kingdom. So this basically is a time period. Now notice during this same time period, what is being said. This is very important to listen to and hear. It's during this time period of the time of the end. It says, and there will be great earthquakes. Not just earthquakes. It occurred, like Mark said, back during the time of Pompey and you know, recorded earthquakes. But as I mentioned, it's so many earthquakes that you could take the full 1,800 years before and it wouldn't even begin to match to what's happening, even to our present day. Every day there's earthquakes. There will be, though, great, here's the word, great earthquakes. Now, what are you talking about but what we're just talking about here? Japan, Chile, Alaska, Turkey, China, you know, it just got Thailand. One earthquake, one tsunami after another. Huge, just massive deaths, see? This is what Christ said. You've got to look for that time period because that's when I'm coming back. And we're here, brothers and sisters. We're here. So this is what you've got to realize. We can't put nothing before God's kingdom. You know, I'm going to tell you, I'm speaking from Hebrews 13. I'm not going to be held accountable. Now, this may sound selfish, but I am doubly responsible as Mark is and as Bill is for your life. We're commanded to shepherd the flocks. And we cannot in any way put anything before this and tell the congregation it's okay. We've got to put the kingdom first. We need to be at meetings. We need to study. We need to edify one another as never before. Yes?
What?
Hebrews 13, 7 and verse 13 talks about the shepherds. And I'll show you what it says real quick, sort of change the subject. But it's powerful for the shepherds.
Would you give that side again?
Yes, Hebrews 13. This is why, man, talk about turning fire on under me. This will do it. This is, let's read. Who's got the Living Bible?
Yeah.
You have it, Mark, Dave, don't you?
I can find my regular
okay.
Bible.
Okay. Aaliyah, read the Living for me. Verse 7, that's chapter 13 of Hebrews, verse 7 and verse 17.
Verse 7 and 17?
Yes.
Remember your leaders who have taught you the word of Yahweh. Think of all the good that has come from their lives and try to trust the Lord as they do. Verse 13?
17.
No, I thought it was wrong at 13.
17.
Obey your spiritual leaders and be willing to do what they say, for their work is to watch over your souls, and God will judge them on how well they will do this.
See, the judgment begins with the household of God. Oh, go ahead. I'm sorry.
Give them reason to report joyfully about you to the Lord and not with sorrow, for then you will suffer for it too.
See, if you give the shepherds trouble, and this is talking about the true body, you're going to suffer. See, and if you cause this kind of contention, you're going to suffer because Yahweh will bring that suffering upon you. Because the fact the shepherds he's put there to guard you. Now, we're not talking about these counterfeit shepherds. We're talking about someone preaching the truth of God's word that truly loves and cares for the congregation. You know I love you guys. You know, we all love you. But it's the idea that it comes down, I am doubly responsible. I mean, I mess up and willingly mess up for gain, like a lot of these ministers, money, prestige, the comforts of home. You know, like the soft spots, the, you know, that a lot of these ministers go after. Listen, I'm going to pay a terrible price. And the judgment begins now with the household of God. Each one of you are the household of God now. It's what Peter talks about. We're not going to have the 1,000-year reign for us. We'll be there to teach. But now, for 2,000 years, the household of God is being judged. And few Christians understand this. This is what is so sad to me. Few Christians understand that the judgment begins now with us. So meaning the shepherds especially, it's going to be all over for us if we don't teach right. Mark.
People don't want to hear our perspectives about abortion. They don't want to hear our perspectives about homosexuality.
Nothing.
Or other things that we're taught about in the Torah and elsewhere in the Word. But if I can't keep you on the path with my staff, I'm going to have to break your leg and hang you around my neck.
Yes.
That picture of Jesus with the sheep around his neck, that is the technique that a shepherd uses with a sheep that goes astray too regularly. They literally break the lamb's leg, and that lamb becomes bonded to the shepherd because it lives with the shepherd around its neck until around that shepherd's neck until that leg is healed.
Isn't that the most interesting story? How many of you have seen that picture of Christ with the lamb?
So don't be making me break your legs.
Yeah,
see. Every time we see that picture, okay,
she's got a bad knee.
We should get a different perspective.
Yes, yeah, see, exactly, Jen.
Wow.
But this is what I'm just going to pound this in sermon after sermon, because we've got to realize there isn't any time left. There isn't any. We're seeing all these signs being fulfilled. You can't put anything before the kingdom of God. That's why Yeshua said what? Put first the kingdom of God, and all other things will be added to you. So you can't be seventh point down, you know, point seven. You can't be down the, you know, on the list. And so here's what Christ says. He goes on further on and says, and verse, of course, I read 11. It says, great earthquakes in one place after another. You're just going to see more of them. Food shortages. Look at the food shortages in the world. It's estimated and has been for, you know, for years by the United Nations. And it's worse now even with now the, you know, the condition with the corn, the condition with different, you know, grains and what's happening, the crop failures. That three-fourths of the world is starving to death. Not just going to bed hungry. Starving to death. Think of this, starving to death. It's probably far worse now. And here's another thing. And there will be fearful sights. Look at all the sights and fear in the heavens. Movies have been made about it. You know, and Mark is going to even talk about this, the UFOs and so forth. See, the ideas with UFOs and so forth, which are demon angels and vessels they came in, no doubt. Like, you know, the scripture is clear on it. I even wrote on it. And there will be also, you know, great signs in the heavens. Great signs. And we've seen some of these, see. Also, verse 25, I'm jumping because I got some more to read. And there will be signs in the sun and the moon and the stars, and on earth anguish of nations, knowing, not knowing the way out because of the roaring of the sea and its agitation.
Wow.
Now, this is not talking about the sea literally. This means like Israel today, America. We're just being tossed every which way. Israel doesn't even know what they're doing. They don't know where to turn. Everything we do seems to backfire in their face. See, and that's what's happening all over the world among the main nations. No matter how wealthy they are, no matter how much military power they have, they just can't cut it. They can't get the job done. And this is one of those crises. Christ said this is going to be one of the key points. Also, 26. While men become faint out of fear and expectation of the things coming upon the inhabited earth, for the powers of the heavens will be shaken. Listen, man has been in fear since the nuclear age of things coming upon us. And there's still 75% of the people of this world, not just the United States, latest estimates believe there is aliens, and eventually we may meet them or be invaded by it. You're seeing TV programs, the V. What's that stand for, Porphy? Victory. See, all these weird, weird outer space shows, see, and dealing with cloning. Notice cloning, as it was in the days of Noah, between the demon angels. Cloning, all this is now being put forth out there. There is now pigs. It's pink pigs. They call them pink pigs. They're pink in color, beautiful in nature, but they've already been cloned with rats. So part of the pig is a rat. They have done this with sheep and other things. It's all been documented on TV, even discussions about it. Now notice here, going further. And then it says, it talks about the tribulation period at the end, but notice verse 29. With that, he spoke the illustration, note the fig tree and all other trees. When you see the bud, by observing it, you know for yourself that now summer is near. Mm. We all know that. Mm-hmm. What do you think Christ is talking about in these illustrations? He's using this. See, this meaning his coming is near. Verse 31. In this way, you also, when you see things occurring, know that the kingdom of God, he's talking about these things we're talking about, is near. It is near. Truly I say to you, this generation will by no means pass away until all these things occur. Okay. So these are key points that Christ is he's trying to drill in, as never before, to his apostles, the importance of what he's saying to them, and which answers their question. Notice verse 34. And this is so important for us. This shows most of us are not aware. They weren't aware then, they're not aware now, that the judgment is on each one of us now. Think of this. When you wake up in the morning, your day's activity, you're being judged, which will deal with your future use in the kingdom. You're not going to have that thousand reign when Satan's embissed and, you're going to learn from scratch. No, you'll be teaching then. But this means we're facing the full raft of Satan now. We walk by what? Faith, not by sight. That's why we don't need all these miracles like in the first century. We've got to walk by faith. Yahweh doesn't want us to have to see miracles every minute or see the sea split or this or that. Not that these don't occur. But what I'm saying is our walk now, which is very special, is a walk of faith. See, how I would love, my gracious, for an angel to appear at the foot of my bed and say, Craig, you're doing okay and this is what's going to happen. Or, suddenly an angel appears during our meeting here. There wouldn't be anything more awesome, as far as reality. But it's not going to happen because of the fact Christ says, you guys are going to be pillars in my church. Revelation 13. You have not denied my name. You have endured everything without any power. He is showing us that for the chosen body of Christ now, and those being called to the 144,000 in now, and others will be during the tribulation, we must walk with total faith. Total faith. Well, we can move mountains. That's the kind of faith we must have, see. This kind of faith must prevail among the body of Christ now. We cannot be lackadaisy just as the churches are just floating along, one foot in the world and one with God. It's just not going to cut it. You can't be part of the bride. Think of this. The bride of Christ that Christ is coming back for. He gave his life for that bride. He's died for the bride. He's coming back for a wife he loves so. But where is the wife? Lordy be, a lot of them are out when they should be at meetings and doing this. They're out the malls or the men are doing this. It's just a constant, sort of lukewarm walk among even so-called chosen ones of Christ now. Because a lot of them, they understand, but they just won't accept the idea. It's not a reality to them that they must die to themselves. That's what their baptism was all about. They must die to their walk and now walk in the light of Christ. Am I making sense to all of you?
Oh, yeah, sure.
Well, it's just, this is how critical it is. Christ says he's word sake. He says, and also 34, pay attention to yourself that your hearts never become weighed down with overeating, heavy drinking, and that's a whole story of man now. They've got so many good foods and good drinks. Everybody, it's a way out of the trouble. And notice, anxieties of life. That means the stressful conditions of life. Letting the bills overwhelm you, family problems, whatever. Letting it overcome you. And suddenly that day will be instantly upon you. See, that's the bride of Christ. He'll come back. Is he going to come back for a bride that really isn't devoted to him? A bride that really not waiting as she should be and preparing, but she's busy doing other things off and on. No, he's not coming back for that kind of bride. He's coming back for a bride that is willing and has died to themselves. That means men and women both. That are willing to every day give their life, and this is their Sabbath rest in Yeshua, to Yeshua and walk that walk every day of their life. Doesn't mean they're perfect, but they're striving to do the best they can. And that's someone that realizes how serious things are now and that this is the commandment, put first the kingdom of God in our lives. We are the household of God. We're being judged right now. And that will deal with your talents when you're in the kingdom. Stop and think about this. Christ puts his arms and hugs you. He takes you up before the Father. And you have a crown on. And you lay down that crown and there's not one jewel in it. that's your talents. What have you done with your life during this time period? How much better to walk up to have Christ put his arms and embrace you and take you up to the Father, and the Father reaches down and embraces you. But before the Father does, Christ takes the crown off your head and puts it before the Father. And guess what? On that crown is 20 or 30 precious jewels. Because your whole life has been devoted to the walk of his son. The walk of a son into the glory of Yahweh, Yeshua. See, I'd like to have that kind of crown, wouldn't you? Not one that has no jewels on it. Because those people, yes, they'll gain life, but they will never be used in the kingdom as they could and see the glories and be used in those glories as those who have devoted their life now to Yahweh and Yeshua. It's like, in the outer courtyard, if you've ever studied the Levitical priesthood, there was an outer court and an inner court. Only the elite Levites who were so dedicated to Yahweh and Yeshua ever got within the inner courtyard. That's where the holy and most holy was. For the sacrifices, in dealing with inner court. Most of the Levites remained in the outer court service. And that's because they never had given their life to Yahweh. They never had showed that special love for Yahweh as those who were allowed to enter the inner court. And that is an example for each one of us in our lives. And so, brothers and sisters, As long as I got a voice and the Spirit's on me, I'm going to shout these things, because it's so important for all of us to realize. Christ also says, he says in verse 36, keep awake then all at all time. Keep awake, brothers and sisters. That means you can't pick a day to serve God, or you can't say, I'm taking time off, or this or that, or, you know, whatever the reason. I'm not saying sickness or something, but, you know, let's, you know, that mode of lifestyle where you start putting the kingdom second in your life. Keep awake then all at all times, making supplication, prayer, that you may succeed in escaping all these things that are destined to occur and standing before the Son of Man. Oh, Lord, what a statement. There's nothing more than I wanted, and all of you, to be to standing before the Lord and before his Son, Yeshua. That's what I want. And I tell you, I want that so bad, I want it for every one of you. And I would die for that cause. That's how much I love you. Because this life means nothing outside of the greatness of being able to serve. It's that world to come that will be together forever. And I'm telling you, I think on these times, and I break down in tears at times, because it's just overwhelming. We have such a privilege to have the truth now and to be able to share that truth with others. Now, notice I'm going back into Luke 17. Luke 17, Christ says these words. Again, Luke's tremendous in the prophecies of the end times. Tremendous, well, Matthew 24 and Mark 13, you'll find many of this. But Luke really expresses it. Keep my voice going with a swig of water. Adam's ale. Nothing better than Adam's ale. So Luke 17 says this. He says, we'll start in verse 20. But on being asked by the Pharisees when the kingdom of God was coming, Yeshua answered them and said, the kingdom of God is not coming with striking observance, meaning he was there and they didn't even observe him. Say, that's when the kingdom started. Neither will people be saying, see there and there, for look, the kingdom of God is in your midst. That was Yeshua, but they didn't realize that. But then he said, then 22, then he said to the disciples, days will come when you will desire to see one of those days of the Son of Man, but you will not see it. And people will say to you, see there and see here. Do not go out or chase after them. It's like all these religious cults, groups that have predicted this and that. 424. For even as the lightning by its flashing shines from one part under heaven to another part under the heaven, so the Son of Man will be. When he comes back, of course, especially the second coming, the whole world will see him. Now, Lana, read for me, will you? Verse 26 and verse 28, down through 30. Please, thank you.
And as it was in the days of Noah, so it will be also in the days of the Son of Man. Likewise, as it was also in the days of Lot, they ate, they drank, they bought, they sold, they planted, they built. But on the day that Lot went out of Sodom, it rained fire and brimstone from heaven and destroyed them all. Even so will it be in the day when the Son of Man is revealed. In that, continue on?
Yeah, to 30.
That was 30.
Okay. So, you know, what you're seeing here is some vital points he makes there. And it's far more than these words even. It's what occurred. During the days of Noah, of course, the demon angels came down and mated with with the women of men. They produced Gaborim. There were cloning, all kinds of cloning. That's why the animals were destroyed. They were cloning with animals, even demon angels. And we saw that's possible when Christ sent demons in to herd swine. And so this was occurring during the days of Noah. it became unbelievable. That's why all animals were destroyed, land animals, and the birds. They had all been cloned into hideous creatures by these demon angels. That's now occurring, as I told you. Pigs, sheep, everything. See, is being crossbred. You know, everything was created by Yahweh according to its kind. You can't cross a rat with a pig. And that's what their man's doing now, see. That's why man's is coming to their end. Because there's nothing that man, if Yahweh didn't intervene, as in the days of Noah, there would be nothing man couldn't accomplish. Okay. Now also, here's another key point. As it was in the days of Sodom and Gomorrah. Think about this. What was so outstanding about the days of Sodom and Gomorrah?
Evil,
but in what form?
Homosexuality.
And what you see today, you have never seen such a condoning, such an acceptance of homosexuality, gay marriages, abortion, it goes on and on. Now, if you speak out, whether you're an individual, a minister, or anything, against any of these issues, Miranda could speak out in school, she'd be called a bigot. You know, the teachers would be against. Everyone would be against her, see. Against us. Yes, Mark.
Our Christian president, Hussein, has appointed over 300 homosexual advisors and appointees, including to positions within the Department of Education. Faye Harden published all of those names on her in her Faye's Facts newsletters.
Plus the military. He's been the main instigator to press the laws on the homosexual in the military.
Social secretary.
Yeah, see, so you're beginning to see the exact, you know, see, it's just not seeing it. Here's the point I want to emphasize. Christ says, when I'm coming back, you better be awake, especially the house of the faith, because you're going to see these huge earthquakes, diseases, food shortages everywhere. And then he goes on with these two main prophecies. You're going to see things occurring that were unbelievable in Noah's day. They were unbelievable, occurring now even in more massive form. Cloning everything, see. The cross, trying to crossing of kinds and stuff. You're going to also see homosexuality in these things. That's always been, you know, Alexander the Great, they believe, was a homosexual. It goes on, but never now with an acceptance coming out of the closet, which is now totally right, see, to do. You're seeing a total acceptance of these massive sins. Read the 19th chapter of Genesis about Lot. I mean, this, if you want to read about homosexuality and the sickness of it, this is right in the 19th chapter of Luke. Lot's thing in Genesis.
It's gone from people making fun of homosexuals to people making fun of people who aren't.
Yes, there it is, Mark. So, in fact, there's been some ministers, charges have been brought against them already. See, speaking out on this. So, you know, these are things I want you to, you know, realize because, you know, like he says in 32, remember the wife of Lot. Well, remember the wife of Lot. In fact, the Bedouin say that her statue is still standing to this day. They'll point to it. Even Ron White, renowned archaeologist, salt statue of Lot's wife is still here today.
Yeah,
it's never been done away with. Verse 33: Whoever seeks to keep his soul, as she did, save for himself, will lose it. But whoever loses to preserve it alive, will preserve it alive. Meaning, if you put first the kingdom of God, you may lose your physical life, but you're going to gain your spiritual life. Far more important than physical life. So I wanted to share these thoughts with you because it's just, I'm telling you, it's, and I'm seeing it and others seeing it too, you're seeing it, but it's getting very disheartening, and we can't let that happen, to see so many Christians we love just sort of, just basically not putting first the kingdom of God in their life. Putting everything else first.
more and more I'm getting reactions of, you know, I don't want to hear it, or that's not politically correct, that kind of a thing. One of the things that I have to constantly stress is that my opinion doesn't matter. And I'm not telling you what my opinion is when I'm telling you these things. I'm trying to describe to you what the Word of God says about this. And so when you're in discussions with people, it's very difficult to make sure that they don't take it personally, even though they might personally be engaged in behaviors that you're talking about, and that you're not trying to put your personal views on people when you're witnessing. You're trying to describe to them how God told us how to live in this instruction book he gave us.
And Bill, you even mentioned
nobody
that.
Nobody reads the instructions anymore.
Yeah, Bill, you mentioned that too, remember? What was it you're always hearing? About opinions. Mm. You know, well, that's not my opinion.
Yeah, my interpretation. That's not the way I...
That's not what it means to me.
It doesn't mean...
Yeah.
In fact, Bill's even had Atlanta ministers tell him that.
Well, I mean, you're entitled to your opinion if you're wrong. But if I agreed with you, then you'd both be wrong. That's what I'm saying.
Yeah. Yeah, it's okay. That's the,
I agree with you.
Ooh,
yeah.
Yeah, it's okay.
But the other thing that just really pertains me is that we have no sanctity for life.
No.
Now babies are in jeopardy. Not even, you know, abortion, stem cells, people, you know, and now we have to think of the younger, like, how are they going to be treated?
They're being treated hideously.
I know, and so the sanctity of life is completely gone.
Yeah.
And that's our country.
Yeah, and it's all over the world, in fact.
Yeah, but, yeah, it shows the downfall of our country.
But see, our country plays a great deal because we're Manasseh, and England's Ephraim. God's very special people, as they were intended to be, and now, of course, they're under the curses of Leviticus 26 and Deuteronomy 28. But it just shows you, there, you know, every time I think it can't get worse, I listen to the TV, and Lord, I'm sickened. I mean, there's children. Just the other day, what was that, Porphy? A 7-year-old little girl, literally beaten to pulp.
In Albuquerque. Is that
I mean, the investigating officer said they were saying
the double white trailer, they set it on fire. So they won't go in there and investigate any further.
Well, there's mothers who drive their children off into lakes, and we've heard such hideous things in the last 10 years. It's unbelievable.
I think what bothers me is, I'm guilty of it too, but how people in general see this on the news on a regular basis, and they're numb to it.
There's the word.
Desensitized.
And when you're talking about especially beatings and killings and rapes and stuff like that, how can you be numb to something like that?
Well, it's like the person calling wolf all the time. So when the wolf really comes, no one comes to this.
The media and Hollywood is in the active game of desensitizing people.
Yes.
When you look at the horror movies that are being made, I can hardly bear to watch the commercials when they
come on,
let alone what they're showing in the theater once it's rated for, you know, adult consumption or whatever. And so through video games and everything like that, there is literally a whole generation that's growing up completely callous, completely unable to put a value on human life because they don't understand that it has it.
You know, 20 miles from where we live in Illinois, we have a situation, well, more than that. A man killed his wife and two sons 2 years ago. And he was the son of a pastor. Wait a minute, there's more. He was the head security guard for Joyce Myers.
Oh, my goodness.
And she would not cooperate in the investigation.
That's sad.
And but he went in, choked his two boys and his wife because he was having an affair, and they were in the way.
Yeah,
and he's up for trial now, but it's that kind of thing when you think, you know, it just can't happen, but it does.
Well, look at Tammy Baker, and what was the husband's name?
Tammy.
Yeah, Tammy.
Jim.
And Tammy
Jim.
Baker.
Yeah.
Well, homosexuality, everything else, and he just goes on swaggered. Just every kind of...
And they go on.
Yeah,
now.
They go on.
They just flaunt it.
Yeah. And then start their ministries over again.
Yeah.
So that's the whole thing.
Well, the article this week in the New York Times that disturbed me before these talks about Islam, which was the other big news event this week, was they had these long overdue talks about what business Islam has being in America. And like I said, my next talk will be called "Are You Usefully Stupid?" This preacher had a sign. He was wearing a clerical collar, and he had a sign, "Who would Jesus persecute?" And he says, "Islam is not my enemy." Now, this is one ignorant preacher.
Oh, yeah.
And he is one of the ones that I would call to his face that he's usefully stupid. He is actively pushing an agenda that says it's okay to be Muslim.
Yeah.
It's like these people worship a false god. They will tell you flat out and point blank that Allah does not have a son. So he couldn't possibly be Yahweh.
No.
So the idea that they say they worship the one God, they're mistaken. And although we want to witness to as many of them and bring as many of them to Yeshua as possible, it's very difficult when their very religion is based on the blasphemy that Yeshua was just a prophet. And so it's funny that this religious political system insists on tolerance and equality when they offer none of it themselves.
Well, it's very hard to be a Christian in those areas because we don't have the right Christians in Iraq.
You can't even wear a cross or bring a Bible into Saudi Arabia.
Yeah. Well, you know, that's why in 2 Timothy it says, Living Bible, that in the last days it would be very difficult to be a Christian. Very difficult.
You know, we have it pretty easy here.
Yeah, we have.
Some of these other countries.
Well, let's put it this way.
It's becoming hard.
We're probably, this may seem strange to say, we're probably more under attack than anywhere in the world. Physical deaths are occurring, that's right, in many parts of the world for Christians. But Satan is hitting at the core of Israel, which Manasseh and Ephraim represent at this present time, from a spiritual standpoint, that is literally devastating. And that is, he's striking on our morals. He's striking on our faith. He's striking every way possible to break the household of God. He diverts us. For instance, divide and conquer. Where do you think, why do you think all these children of this country, Britain and others, especially Britain and America, goes into Europe too, literally have no respect for life anymore, basically. I'm not saying all, but just what you said, Jan. That's because they have been inculcated very cleverly by Satan through the teachings of evolution, see? Really stop and think what the evolution teaches. I'm not going into the details of evolution, but it teaches there is no God. See? And it's dog eat dog. So how can you, when these kids join these gangs and have no mercy, or kill their parents, or kill this or that, or rob or whatever, rape, it's because these children have never been taught the Bible. They have been taught basically the principle there is no God.
Well,
yes, survival of the fittest.
And we're ignoring the laws we were given.
Yeah.
Basically, when it comes right down to it, the reason they don't have room in the prisons for thieves is because the prisons are full of murderers and rapists. And to be honest with you, the prisons shouldn't have any murderers or rapists in them.
No,
the murderers and rapists are to be killed.
Yes, and that's true. That law.
And if you're a Christian, this is your belief, whether you believe it or not.
Yes, see.
That then you've got the technological age where all the kids want to do is play computer games.
Yeah, see, all this, well, this is, I was
going to
touch on this.
Yeah.
See, they're being inculcated by Satan and all these different avenues. But I'm going to end here, but I want to tell you something. The key point here of this sermon was, you've got to put first the kingdom. How can you defend against any of these things or talk it if you're not putting Yahweh first in Yeshua? You're not studying the Bible. You're not praying as you should. You're not attending the meetings. I'm going to tell you something. Not one of us in this room could stand by ourselves. See, Satan wants to conquer by dividing, like Mark said. He wants to separate you from the household of faith. And Christ is not, here's the point, Christ is not going to come back, Yeshua, for a bride who doesn't want to be part of his bride. He doesn't want to be his bride. That's really what it amounts to. When you let everything come before the kingdom of God, that means you really don't want to be the bride of Christ. See? Or you don't want to be one of the 144,000.
I wish you could give me a 10-point plan how to get this through to our loved ones.
We don't get it. Well, it's just if you always call them, say, to Christ now. But we've got to give the warning no matter who accepts. But let's, any further questions on the study before we close in prayer? I didn't mean to, switch off sermons and stuff, but Spirit just hit me strong this week on this. And I just, a lot going on, and especially with world events. And, people just not really catching it, what's happening. They just think, well, that's just a world event. They don't realize it's a judgment of Yahweh coming upon this world. We're living in the final moments. Yeshua, let's put it this way. Christ is the same what? Yesterday,
today,
and tomorrow. He was the Yahweh of the Old Testament. He came in the name of the Father. You saw the judgments that was brought down at that time on the pagans and on the evil people. See, everyone wants to think of this this Jesus as, anything you want to do, just say you love him and that will cover it, see? Yeah, that counterfeit love message. And now you see what's happening. All these sins are being condoned, see? But the point about it is they don't realize that these things occurring in the world today, even on America, we're under the curses, is from the judgments of God. They're from the judgments of Yahweh, clear as can be in Scripture. And yet, the world, just like in Noah's day, just like in Sodom and Gomorrah, business as usual, see? And so this is what we have to realize. We are soldiers in the army of Christ, and brother, we've got our work cut out as never before. You've got, if you've got an M16 in your hand, you better know how to use it.
Well, we have to learn today.
Yes, and that's the word of God. You better know how to use it.
Put on the full armor.
Yes,
and there's the key.
Full armor.
I've got a Mark 16 and a Matthew 16.
Yeah. And I'm going to tell you something. Yeah, that's pretty good. Yeah. But you can't, here's the point. You can't take on the enemy in that trench, no matter what kind of weapons you got, by yourself. See, that's why association is so important. Final scripture I want one of you to read for me, and then we're closing in prayer. Read it from the Living Bible, Leah. Hebrews 10:23 through 25. Yeah, read loud.
Now we can look forward to the salvation Yahweh has promised us. There is no longer any room for doubt, and we can tell others that salvation is ours, for there is no question that he will do what he says. In response to all he has done for us, let us outdo each other in being helpful and kind to each other and in doing good. Let us not neglect our church meetings as some people do, but encourage and warn each other, especially now that the day of his coming back again is drawing near.
How clear could you be? It couldn't be any clearer. Forsake not the gathering of our meetings. See, we're to outdo each other, even. and trying to edify and build up each other as brothers and sisters. Okay. Well, let's all stand.
That divide and conquer is happening amongst the Christian churches.
Yes.
Each one of them is trying to pick nits out of the eyes of the others while the log is stuck in their own.
Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm going to ask Dave. I'm going to ask Dave to. Dave's going to lead us in prayer.
All right.
And go ahead, Dave.
Thank you, Yahweh, for my brothers and sisters here. Thank you for the opening of my heart and my eyes and ears, and may it be put on all our hearts, your will and your word.
Yes, Father.
And help us in these troubling times of the world. Help us to be a shining light in the darkness for all that need it. May we go forth as soldiers in your army to carry the word to all corners of the earth with much love from your servants. Amen. Amen.